Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Jessica with a special edition episode of Turn the Page podcast, Syosset Library. Today we are going to interview Christine Yu. Would you like to talk about what you do and the project you're working on?
Sure. I am Christine Yu. I am the Associate Archivist at Molloy College. We recently started a project called Living History, where we are encouraging members of the Molloy community and Long Island in general to submit their COVID-19 experiences, whether that be journal or diary entries, written reflections, photos, videos, audio recordings, even handwritten journals or physical artwork we're accepting as well. And we're just trying to document and preserve this experience for our community.
So the first time we heard about it, we thought it was an absolutely fabulous idea, obviously born out of something very unexpected to us, at least from everybody I hear who's in the sciences or who knows anything about immunology. It was not unexpected to them, but to us, it certainly has changed life very quickly for us over a short period of time. So when did the first seed of this idea begin to sprout, and where did it come from?
I am part of a Facebook group called Archivist Think Tank. Just a huge group of just a lot of different archivists across, I'm pretty sure, like the US, and actually I think there's a lot of Europeans there too, so I guess like the global world. And there were a lot of people who were looking into starting to document this kind of thing, and especially a lot of schools. And I saw that there were a lot, and I thought, like, well, why not us? And so I was like, just try and start it.
Yeah, no, it actually made me think a little bit of just like the mass observation project. You know, like during like World War II, and you have all of these diaries of people who were experiencing things, you know, and just like everyday people, and how their lives were affected by something that was going on all around them. So I really, you know, that's what came to mind for me. And I know at our libraries, we thought that it seemed natural to document this and have this in a place, because eventually we'll be past it, and you know, there might be things that we do or we say in the future that are related to things that are happening now, and to have a good record of what this was and where things come from, we thought was fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. I think that something archivists struggle a lot with is trying to like patch gaps or to find documentation of people, experiences, things that like at the time people are like, oh, this isn't that important, or oh, I'm not that important. But right now we have the opportunity to make sure that we have this kind of documentation and that we have it from a large group of people. And I think that that's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So what has the response been so far?
It's been really positive. I've gotten a lot of different things. And they're not always like, some of them are like pretty, like kind of sad, I guess, like people who are, or professors who are like sending in conversations that they've had with students, or like first responders and things like that. So that's like kind of sad, but there's also a lot of like really unexpected bright sides. I got a submission from someone who's like, I have never had the opportunity to video chat with my family as a whole, and now we're like really using that, and that was nice. And then I've seen a lot, someone sent me in like
they had a baby during this time. They sent me in their baby picture. That was like really sweet. Yeah. So there's like a lot of really like nice things, I think, as well.
Yeah, I think this is definitely a challenging time, but there are things that are coming out of it that are unexpected, as you said. And, you know, we're all just kind of trying to navigate it. And as librarians, documenting it is extremely important. So it really is interesting because it's not, it's like, I don't want to say, what is it? It's the best of times, it's the worst of times, because it's not the best of times. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely strange times. What is it? Yeah, may you live in interesting times. This is an interesting time, but not everything that is happening is necessarily horrible for the reasons one would think. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of people who are slowing down and able to connect with their families in a different way, as you had said. There are people who are reaching out, and they might not have done that before, to try new things, you know, to help people. I know with libraries, we're using our 3D printers to help healthcare professionals, which was not on our radar at the beginning of the year, as far as I knew. And if it was, please somebody correct me, and I apologize profusely. But, you know, printing like face shields for healthcare professionals. So it really is, you know, interesting how the life, everyday life changes when an event that's out of everybody's hand begins to shift the world around us. So how many people are working on this project with you?
Our special collections and records management department is pretty small. It's just me and then Larissa Wu, who's the director, and then the assistant archivist, Brianna Paley. So there's three of us. I would say day-to-day, it's usually I'm the one who's keeping track of like who's submitting, what's being submitted. My email's like on the website, so people email me sometimes with questions, right, and things like that. So,
yeah. Do you find that it is something of interest to all age groups? Do you find that you're getting more submissions from, like, say, millennials or people who are a little bit older, or does it just sort of go across the board?
I would say that it's, I haven't had a lot of student responses, and like I can't blame them, because like it's the end of the school year, they've got finals, they've got like classes, they've had to make a huge adjustment in their lives.
Sure.
The good thing is we don't have like a deadline on this, so I'm hoping maybe when things slow down for students in the summer that maybe they'll be able to contribute more. Mm-hmm. There, I feel like it's mostly been older people, and also I had an elementary school teacher reach out to me and ask because she's having her kids create, what was the word she used, an artifact, I think. She's having them try and create an artifact a week. She was asking if they could submit them when they were done. I was like, yes, definitely. So,
yeah, I think, you know, it's very interesting because children have a really fluid type of memory. You know, I can look back on when I was the age of an elementary school child, and you know, this doesn't seem like anything that I would have experienced, but there are definitely things that seemed natural to me that to my parents were probably completely out of the norm. And, you know, your mind just sort of, when you're younger, just tries to sort of adapt to it. So I think it would be very interesting to see how this experience shapes them. I know, like, if you read Eric Larson, he recently wrote The Splendid and the Vile, which was, it took place around the Blitz, and it deals with the Churchill family, but there are little excerpts of diaries from that time period, And there was a young child who was asked what he wants to be when he grows up, and he said alive. Yeah, I know, but it's certainly, one of my coworkers and I were talking about it recently, because, you know, that was a book that we'd both read, and it certainly pertains to today, because you are hearing a lot of bad news, and how adults and children absorb it is different. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so we definitely appreciate everything that you're doing. What have you been hearing from archivists in just the general world? Is this a project that could kind of come together in like a patchwork quilt in the future, where are other archivists doing similar projects?
Yeah, there's a lot of archives all across the US and even Europe that are starting to do a lot of documentation. I don't know if I'm 100% right, but I definitely remember seeing the University of Indiana being like one of the first to start putting things online, but there were so many that were like all going up at the same time. I would say there's a reason why all of our submission forms look very similar. and that all, like, I'm sure archivists across a bunch of different, at least higher ed, we're like, oh, this is something that we need to start looking into. This is something we need to start doing quickly. Google Forms was like very clearly the fastest and easiest kind of thing to start with.
It's very interesting because you can tell, and you know, we're not really, I like to hope that we're not really selfish in the library archivist world about, you know, these types of things that benefit everybody. But you can definitely tell, like, when somebody has an idea, whether it be for archives or another library related thing, when it, you know, that it started around this time, because Google Forms has become the darling of everything. from like virtual escape rooms to projects like yours. So this is certainly the Google Forms day to shine.
I love the virtual escape rooms. My friend is a YA librarian, and she sent me one. She was like, will you test this for me? I was like, this is such a fun idea.
Yeah, it's, but like that in a way, like that's like a snapshot, all of them together, and how quickly they came out is like a snapshot of this time period. I guess, you know, it might not necessarily be like a personal narrative, but just the fact, like within 2 weeks, you had everything from, you know, of course you were going to have a Harry Potter one because librarians love Harry Potter. Most of them do, at least. But then, you know, like I saw a Golden Girls one, I saw a Bob's Burgers one. And
yeah, my friend made a K-pop one.
So. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So every, you know, but it was all this like a spread like wildfire. It's like, okay, we're doing this. This is a great idea. Everybody all in. So I think you touched upon something really unique about this time period as well. There, you know, I wonder 10 years from now, if people are still doing virtual escape rooms, if the people who are doing them will remember when they just became, yeah, exactly, that, you know, everybody was trying to figure out how they were going to reach out, and that was what happened. But really, we commend your effort, because to think, I guess to think clearly and to kind of come up with a plan in a short amount of time under all the stress that everybody's under is not easy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it was kind of a wild time trying to get it up and running as fast as we could, because there's just so much happening. There's a lot. I think there are like two minds of it right now. I've been seeing people who are like, oh, we shouldn't push this too fast because we want people to give time to process what's happening. And people who are like, we have to start this now because if we don't, it's never going to get done. And I'm of the mind that you kind of have to get it started. Like, you don't have to push people to start submitting. take your time, process what you need to process, but it's definitely something to think about. I got my undergraduate degree from an engineering school with a really big focus on pre-med and the nursing school specifically. And I've been telling my friends in the medical field, like, make sure you write this down or make sure you remember what's happening. Like, not necessarily for yourself, but for the future. It's something that, like, they don't really think about that often, but it's something that, like, is going to have a huge impact on, like, researchers in the future and things like that.
Sure. I think you can't discount the importance of narrative when the future is at stake. And there could be a time in the future where going back and studying these things would help. And, you know, we wouldn't necessarily know how. But I think, you know, that another old, probably worn out phrase, you know, those who don't remember history will be doomed to repeat it. Don't forget to write history down, because you're living it. And right now, I know a lot of people don't want to be living something that's going to be considered a major historical event, but it's going to be really, really important for future generations to understand what happened during this time period, what worked, what were coping strategies, what were people afraid of, because it will teach us a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in terms of like public health or medical history, things like that, there's just a huge way that this could like expand and help the future. So
absolutely. Do you want to say anything else about the project and how you can get involved if you're interested?
Yes, I will share the URL. We are at molloy.edu. We have two separate forms. We have a Google form. We also have a Microsoft form. So if you don't have a Gmail account and you have like a Outlook or AOL or MSN, I think they all work with Microsoft Forms. So you could submit there as well, or you can email me with any questions at cyu@molloy.edu.
Excellent. Thank you so much. You stay safe and healthy. And
thank you.
Please tell everybody that we appreciate all the work that they're doing, and we hope to one day meet in person.
Thank you.
Maybe 6 feet apart, maybe not. Yeah. And I am going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.